You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Live across Wisconsin from Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, live from Civic Media Studios in Madison, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Well, check that out. Putting Dr. Lyerly to work. She's finally getting an honest day's paycheck out of us.
I didn't know she gets paid.
Well, she does not. And I'll remind her of that when she's here a little later on this hour. Welcome back. Nice to have you here. Normally up north, but today down in Madison, along with Parker Olson, producing this shindig down in Madison Studio A2. If you're watching on social media going, you guys don't look like you're in the same room.
Nope.
It's because I have a very plain wall behind me, so we've got the virtual background. So we've got the Lake Wasota look.
Mine is so well decorated.
Yours is decorated with a Civic Media banner and nothing else.
That is the only thing on the wall.
And that was your
entire room.
Hey, you know, baby steps. It's baby steps.
Very small.
It's 6 months later, 6 months from now, we're going to put something else up on the wall. It's going to be
a Post-it. It'll say Up North News.
So the aforementioned Dr. Lyerly will be along later this hour, along with our weekly news quiz. Frank will be along for that. And then Dr. Lyerly will talk more in our next hour about a particularly disturbing story. It's about what some Wisconsin legislative Republicans want to do to further harass women at one of the most vulnerable times of their life. I'd never heard of something called a catch kit, but these are legislators who want women who have a miscarriage to have to collect the tissue and bring it to a doctor's office in a medical waste bag because they're so concerned, they say, that, you know, abortion-inducing drugs might get into the groundwater supply. I can't even believe they're saying that with a straight face, but we're going to talk to Dr. Lyerly about that 1 hour from now, along with other things that have to do with politicians who just don't want to leave women alone to control their own bodies. But for now, at 7:08, we're going to turn our attention to our Week in Review panel. Well, two-thirds of it anyway. Jennifer Schulze is off this week. Got to get an early start on the holiday weekend. And so let's bring in former U.S. Attorney Jim Santel. And let's bring in journalist Mark Jacob, a former editor at the Chicago Tribune, and who also now has Stop the Presses, which you can get at stopthepresses.news. The column this week, how the media pardon political criminals, news outlets paper over the ugly pasts of right-wing extremists. And Jim, of course, has Amicus, a law review. You can hear that Saturday mornings, 9 to 11, across the Civic Media Radio Network. Gentlemen, good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
Nice to have you both here. No shortage of things that we're going to get into today. Not the least of which, Mark, we'll start with you and then we'll go to Jim. But as you both kind of talked about the things you've been following this week, you both followed the wonder of a sitting president essentially threatening members of Congress with execution. And again, this tendency of the media to say, that's just Trump being Trump. Although normally, Mark, that would be above the fold, you know, big typeface. Obama threatens to kill reporters or have reporters executed. Mark, you look at the New York Times. How did they take this very serious thing that a sitting president did?
Well, they had a very little itty bitty paragraph about at the fold of page one, referring to their story, which they put on page 16. It's just mind-blowing to think that the President of the United States is threatening to execute members of Congress, but that's exactly what he did yesterday.
And let's back up and give what was the context of it? Because what he said about those members of Congress was for something that they said, and the thing that they said was perfectly reasonable, especially in an era of potential dictatorship.
Right. All right. So these are members of Congress, Democrats, a handful about, and they're all veterans of either the CIA or of the military. And they did a simple video saying, telling two troops, and to the CIA officers, intelligence officers, saying you are obligated to not follow illegal orders. Do not follow illegal orders. And this is like a longstanding principle, in the, you know, in all civilized countries. I mean, it really came to a focus after World War II in the Nuremberg trials, where, you know, where people tried, the Nazis tried to say, well, I was just following orders. And right. they said, no, you can't follow illegal orders. You're responsible for what you do. So this is not something that these Democrats just invented this week. So they said that because, you know, we're about to enter a war in Venezuela for who knows why. And, you know, and he's sending troops to American cities. So it's pretty darn irrelevant right now. And so they did this video and it infuriated the Trump people. And that's when he said it was a sedition and punishable by death.
Yeah. And Jim Santel, I mean, we're aware, even in more recent history, you know, the My Lai massacre in Vietnam, and of course, Abu Ghraib during the wars with Iraq and Afghanistan, that, you know, there are things that are men and women in uniform are sometimes commanded to do. And this this was a way from a legal standpoint to let them know that, I mean, they learned from the very beginning that there are illegal orders that they are not necessarily bound to follow.
That's absolutely right. One of the other problems, the reason we're having this discussion at all, Mark just hinted at it, is we've conflated military with domestic law enforcement. And again, going into the cities of America, arguably with the principles of war, which are very different, completely apart from law enforcement. That's problem number one. The other thing that Mark just accurately noted is this is a fundamental statement of the law. If, in fact, whether you're domestic law enforcement or you're now in the streets of America as a military, as a National Guard member, and your commanding officer tells you everything from break down that front door because we just want to go in and see what's going on without a warrant, without exigent circumstances, that's a violation of the Constitution and you need to say no. If in fact your commanding officer says, as we heard in the previous administration, just shoot at those protesters in the knees. Remember this? Secretary of Defense noting it in his memoir. That is a violation of the law, and it is the kind of thing that responsible law enforcement needs to turn down. We've got judges, Sarah Ellis, right there in Chicago, establishing the same thing all the time with respect to what's going on in the streets of Chicago. A judge named Mame Frimpong, who's saying the same thing in Los Angeles. You got to have reasonable suspicion to arrest. These are simply people articulating the standards of law enforcement that have been in place for 200 years. And if you violate them, you're going to be in big trouble, not only in the moment, but also potentially down the road. That's what they were saying.
Yeah.
And again, it is outrageous that the president would respond to this. I can go on about the violation of the First Amendment that he made yesterday.
But there's also, Jim, I mean, the whole notion of how they're doing this, the masked police, the masked secret police aspect of it, where Mark, we've already seen, as we expected, there are copycat instances where people are the victims of crime by people who are masked and identifying themselves as police or law enforcement agents decidedly are not.
Right, or not identifying themselves at all because the authorities are not identifying themselves. Mm-hmm. Sarah Ellis mentioned this judge in Chicago had to order them to actually wear identification because they weren't doing it. You know, so we have the masked secret police who are not accountable, you know, roaming our streets, zip tying our children and tear gassing our neighborhoods. So this is the thing, Jim, that I want to point out based on what you said. We need to remember that the military and the police are here to protect us. Yes. They're here to serve the American people. They're not here to do the political bidding of Donald Trump. That is not their duty. It's not. And these members of Congress were simply reminding people of that.
Right, Jim?
Yeah, absolutely. And again, it is stunning that in 2025 and perhaps going into 2026, we need to have these basic civics lessons and identify how outside the box, outside of any normalcy, these kinds of comments are. They should be hanged. George Washington would do it. They should be jailed. No, Mr. President. And that gets me to the point I was about to make, which is, you know, there is no right in America, including one right that attends the president, to speak that is unconditional. He has now incited violence. He has incited violence. And that is one of the limitations on the First Amendment. It's the reason why he was not prosecuted for inciting violence on January 6th, because he came right up to the edge, but didn't say, hang the vice president, kill the Speaker of the House. Now he has. And right. Americans need to understand that this is not protected language. I don't want to hear anybody saying he's got a right to say this. He does not. And if you say that out loud, that he's got this right, you are articulating not only an incorrect, but a completely discarded view of the Constitution.
And Mark, that was, go ahead. I was going to say, it simply is going to incite somebody else to take it upon themselves and be violent because they figure, well, Trump will pardon me anyway.
Right. He's identifying the targets is what he's doing.
Yes.
And for the crazy people. And, you know that his Homeland Security has done the same thing in Chicago by calling out reporters by name. And you know, one crazy person, like, you know, doxed one of the reporters after Homeland Security called him out by name. But so, I mean, but let's just for a reality check here. If I had said about Donald Trump the exact thing that he said about these members of Congress, would I expect a visit from the FBI today?
Yes,
I think
you would.
I would. Yeah. So just put it in that context and think about it. What he did yesterday, and for it was so important that the New York Times put it on page 16.
Yeah, exactly. We're talking to Mark Jacob and Jim Santel at 7:17 on this Friday, November 21st. And Jim, to continue some of this extra legal material, we've got the persecution, prosecution of a former FBI director, James Comey, where, again, you had a rational court, take a look at what the Trump Department of Justice is coming up with. And, I mean, I feel like they're no longer amused at the incompetence, but are ready to, in some way, shape, or form, bring the hammer down on the level of incompetence that's come up with these attempts to prosecute for partisan purposes.
Absolutely. I'll make a prediction here early in the morning on a Friday that everybody who knows what this is about is predicting, and that is these cases are going away. And I hope that the judge who's presiding over this gets rid of them on all three grounds. There's no authority for her to act. Number two, this has been victim prosecution. And now we've got grand jury abuse. And just to highlight once again the speech, which is what we're talking about this morning, this United States attorney, Lindsey Halligan, went into the grand jury, and according to the recitation of the transcript by one of the magistrate judge there said that the defendant, in this case, putative defendant coming forward under the indictment, James Comey, does not, in fact, will not have a Fifth Amendment right. Basically, we can compel him to testify, completely a wrong statement of law, and then compounds it by saying, oh, by the way, as grand jurors, you may choose to indict even if there are things that we haven't presented to you. And oh, by the way, we've got more, even better stuff, and we're going to present this to you at trial. Those are wild, not only misstatements, that is, those are wrong codifications of the law. And you are instructing a grand jury on the legal basis for them to indict. That indictment is going to be thrown out. And again, the United States attorney, the chief federal law enforcement officer, went into the grand jury and told them things that are unlawful, illegal, and unconstitutional.
Well, but they're all perfectly legal if you're in a dictatorship. And if you think that one person carries all the power, and that's certainly what they want to believe. Jim Santel and Mark Jacob are with us. We'll continue our Week in Review discussions coming up in just a bit. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Happy Friday. Nice to have you here. I'm Pat Kreitlow from Up North News. You can follow us at upnorthnewswi.com. Click subscribe up at the banner at the top of the homepage, and you can get our newsletters. The weekday newsletter that Ellie Bordeaux puts together includes a Friday section called Locals Love. locals love their local burger joint or pizza place. And this week, we're asking about fish fries, and we've had a lot of answers so far, and we'll cover more of them a little bit later on. But where's a good place to get a fish fry in your hometown? You can send us a text message at 855-75-CIVIC. You can use the Civic Media app, record a voice note. You can put something in the comment sections of YouTube or Facebook where you can watch the live video feed of this show. And, of course, to see these questions and responses, head over to our website. Same goes for our question of the week that I do in our Sunday morning newsletters. And this past Sunday morning, I asked if you have a close friend who's your political opposite. If not, why? And if so, how do you make it work? And again, a lot of great heartfelt responses to that as well. So to be part of those newsletters and the questions that we ask of you, to get your input in, head to upnorthnewswi.com. Let's continue our week in review with Jim Santel and Mark Jacob. Jennifer Schulze's off this weekend, getting a head start on the holidays here. And guys, let's turn now, Mark, before I don't want to forget your column here, because as always, it's got a very intriguing title: How the Media Pardon Political Criminals, pardon in quotation marks, news outlets paper over the ugly pasts of right-wing extremists. I feel like the conversation we just had, bearing a serious story about having members of Congress executed on page 16, feeds nicely into asking you what this article is, what this essay is all about.
Well, yeah, I've been tracking this a long time, and it seems like when Trump and his lackeys commit crimes, the New York Times kind of gets bored about reminding people of that, and they stop reminding people of that. Steve Bannon is a real good example. You know, not just the New York Times, of course. NBC called Steve Bannon, a recent story, a populist who played a key role in Trump's political rise. ABC called him a MAGA podcaster. And NPR called him a sometime presidential advisor. In none of those stories did they point out that he's an ex-con, did they point out that he had done time for refusing to answer Congress's questions, that he had been convicted in state court of defrauding people in that border wall scam that he pulled. He's a criminal. And they don't say that. Instead, sometimes they act like he's some sort of like a wise policy advisor for the president. And this is their form, the media's form of pardon. They do the same thing, you know, with Roger Stone, who was convicted of lying to Congress. You know, they will quote Roger Stone in stories and not point out that he was convicted of lying to Congress, which is certainly relevant when you're quoting Roger Stone in your story. And not to mention the president of the United States, you know, the convicted felon. When I'm not saying that every time they mention Trump, they need to say convicted felon. But how about when he's accusing other people of crimes and calling for them to be jailed? Shouldn't that have been used yesterday, for example, when he called on the members of Congress to either be executed or jailed? So it's a pardon process in the media is the way I put it.
Yeah. I mean, I there's times I thought, well, wait, am I mentioning too often that the president is a convicted criminal? And yet, Jim Santel, I mean, that is what the record shows. And his legal troubles are only going to reset, shall we say, on January 20th, 2029, assuming we have a free and fair election and he's no longer president.
Absolutely. And just to underscore the point, those 34 counts, they are felony counts in New York. They still attached to him. He was basically given a sentence of no time, no incarceration, no penalty, but he is a convicted felon. Need to affirm that on a regular basis. He has appealed that. Obviously, he always appeals everything that does not go his way. He's also in the civil arena, remember, he's a sex offender too. He raped a woman in the mid-1990s in a Bergdorf Goodman store. And again, that too has been adjudicated by two juries, not in a criminal setting, but in a defamation setting, another violation of his, of the First Amendment. You do not have the right to say anything about anybody that is wrong, that you know is wrong, and you publish it to the world. This president doesn't get it on any level. And the criminality, again, Peter Navarro is another one. Inside the White House, again, a trade advisor, spent time in jail on the same thing that sent Steve Bannon to jail. Criminal conduct adjudicated by the courts, and they're incarcerated. These are the people that the president surrounds himself with. He partakes of the same thing.
So, Mark, that takes us, of course, to the case of Jeffrey Epstein, the sexual predator, and a bill that was passed after, since you and I visited last, there was that pretty incredible Trump flip-flop saying, well, let's go ahead and hold the vote on it, and he signed the bill. And again, I feel like even that was understated. I mean, it was in the news, of course, but I mean, that was pretty much an earthquake that public pressure had forced Donald Trump to flip. It simply raises the question, well, is he going to try other ways to block it now that he's had to sign that bill?
Yeah, I think they will. I think that, I mean, I'd be amazed if we see much of the Epstein files that they have. They're just not trustworthy on any score, you know, and Mike Johnson like was recessing the House of Representatives in order to avoid voting on Epstein and would not swear in a member of elected person who was supposed to be in Congress. So they are tooth and nail trying to prevent the release of this. And now Trump realized he was going to get this great erosion in his own party, and he's increasingly disrespected. I mean, you know, I say those things that think they're lockstep for him, but you're starting to see, you know, big problems with him for the economy and everything else. And in Epstein, you know, everyone thinks that's a terrible thing. The polls are overwhelming that this is awful and we need to know who was responsible.
Yeah.
And so he's following the pack. He's not leading the pack.
No, not in this instance. And you wonder if it's going to be the preview of coming attractions. Mark Jacob is here along with Jim Santel. Our Week in Review panel, which we will continue in just a bit. Again, I'm Pat Kreitlow from Up North News. Follow us at upnorthnewswi.com. Matt and Aaron Air coming up next at 9 o'clock here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Nice to have you all back here on this Friday morning, November 21st. I'm Pat Kreitlow down here in Madison, Studio A2, along with Parker Olson, who's producing things here. We will get back to our Week in Review panel in just a sec. First, a reminder, plenty of sports coming up across the Civic Media Radio Network. There's Badger men's hockey tonight. They are at top-ranked Michigan State. Coverage begins at 7 o'clock on stations in Wisconsin Rapids and Ironwood, Michigan. The Badger men's basketball team is playing this afternoon at BYU in Salt Lake City. Coverage begins at 2:30 on several Civic Media stations. Let's see. Then on Saturday, of course, you've got the Badger football team. Coverage begins at 4:30 tomorrow afternoon on several Civic Media stations. And, of course, you got the Packers and the Vikings playing this Sunday at noon. The pregame coverage will begin at 10 on some of the Civic Media stations. You can find more at the website. And Parker Olson is a busy fellow, so busy that you can hear him on the radio tomorrow, I believe, with that first-rate show that you call Make the Call.
Make the Call.
I remembered it.
Good job.
This is
look
fantastic.
You. You
all
get
right.
A gold star, too.
Yeah. What time is that at?
It is Seven o'clock. Well, you almost got me there.
Pop quiz on your own show. Don't be late. So you can listen to Parker and some of your other Civic Media friends discussing sports then as well. All right, let's bring back in our Week in Review panel. Jennifer Schulze is off this week, but we've got Mark Jacob and we've got Jim Santel back with us now. And just a final note on the Epstein files, and then we've got plenty of other things to cover as well. But Jim, we're going to start with you just to again emphasize, I know we've said it several times, this whole thing about Congress needing to vote on a bill to force the release of these files from the Department of Justice, none of this is necessary. Donald Trump can release this stuff with the wave of his hand, can't he?
He absolutely can. The Attorney General could do it from the day she was sworn into office. And again, it is a charade to establish that there is some constitutional statutory requirement that before the Department of Justice releases files within its domain, there are policies about doing that. Completely wrong. This is what this president also does. He purports to talk about the law. Remember all the tax returns from the first term? The IRS prevents me from releasing those. No, that is a misstatement of the law. They are your tax returns. You can produce them at any time, and we've never gotten them. That is the continuing pattern of this president to establish something that does not exist. say that, well, I can't do this until others command me to do so, and then you do it. It is it's misleading. It is so cynical, once again, about his belief about the American people believing this when, in fact, it's not.
And Mark, I'm painting with a broad brush here, but I do feel like, personally, that still doesn't get mentioned enough in media, in news stories. It's always about the X's and O's, the horse race of will Congress vote this way or that way, and leaving out the overarching thing of none of this is really necessary if Trump and or Pam Bondi wanted to do the right thing.
No, and I think that the problem is that the national political media know that. And so it's in the back of their head, and they think everyone else knows it too, and they don't. That's why, again, that's why we're back to us saying that you need to remind people that Trump is a convicted felon sometimes. And you need to remind people that Trump could just release the Epstein files in total if he wanted to. And you know, he's had, there have been reports that he's had as many as 1,000 FBI agents scouring them to try to see how many references to Trump are in there. So they've got them prepped, or they should have them prepped if they wanted to release them. They don't want to release them. They don't want to release any information about Donald Trump's relationship with his longtime friend, the sex trafficker, Jeffrey Epstein.
And my concern, of course, is that if we do see a big release, we're going to notice a lot of things missing or redacted, a la the Mueller report. So they're taking their time to try to whitewash what's in there as best they can.
Right. Well, they may do what Bill Barr did with the Mueller report,
exactly,
which is not release it, but describe it in, mm-hmm, in a dishonest fashion and then release it a week or two later.
That's right.
Or here's the other alternative of this administration. We see it all the time. The courts, including this past week, we simply say no. And we say, you know what? Yeah, I signed the legislation, but it turns out once again that there are reasons why I can't do it. In the end, I'm not going to do it. And who is to enforce that? The answer is no one
right
in this time, and we do not have checks and balances.
Yep, that's Jim Santel, former U.S. attorney, which means I am duly obligated to ask you about the new U.S. attorney for the Eastern District of Wisconsin, one Brad Schimmel. I don't know the extent to which you know each other or know of each other, but I do know that when President Trump appointed Brad Schimmel, it did not happen through normal channels, and Senator Tammy Baldwin had a lot of things to say about blowing up what had been a bipartisan process.
Absolutely. Once again, this is another interim appointment. It lasts for 120 days. So again, we've got our own Eastern Virginia here, although we haven't violated that yet. There is a requirement of the Constitution that at some point the president nominate and the Senate confirm a presidentially appointed United States attorney. I know Brad Schimmel very well. He was the district attorney in Waukesha County when I was the U.S. attorney in Eastern Wisconsin. Even before then, we were lawyers and law enforcement very much together. We plainly have different views, frankly, about how law enforcement should work and the focuses and processes and purposes of that. This is a prosecutor at one point coined challenge coins that basically talked about kicking, I'll say, an A word, right? You're on morning radio. That is not the role of law enforcement. And that scares me an awful lot when we think about the qualities of a U.S. attorney who should be all about justice and ensuring that safety and security is paramount. We are not here to throw people in jail, kick their behinds, and do things in a way that are contrary the fundamental purpose of the United States Department of Justice in America.
But that's the thing we do is, you know, that they do is, again, try to create, you know, heroes and villains, you know, and there are no shades of gray. And to that end, Mark, I'm switching gears here to talk about Wisconsin politics. I don't know if you knew, speaking of heroes and villains, that Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and Zohran Mamdani are running for Congress in northern Wisconsin, because there is a new PAC that is running a $250,000 ad campaign on behalf of Sean Duffy's son-in-law, who wants to run for Congress up here in northern Wisconsin. And the ad, as described in reporting, features AOC and Mamdani, because, again, it's tough to run a campaign on ideas. It's a lot easier to turn people into villains. I'm sure you see that around the Chicago area, too.
Oh, yeah. It's one of those things, if you don't want to talk about anything that's actually happening in your area that you could actually do something about and care about and that people care about, scare tactics, you know, some, you know, people with names that aren't Anglo-Saxon, you know, whatever, anything you need to bring in You know, I mean, what was the biggest campaign ad of the last election? It was about transgender rights.
Yeah.
And, you know, and it was a total scare ad, you know, and with Trump saying outrageously that people, that children were being taken to school and coming back of the different sex,
yes.
which I mean, he actually said that. Yeah. This is again.
And believe, know, I mean, people believed it.
Right. And that was the biggest scare ad. So scare ads, you know, tend to work, I think, with some people at least. And so, yeah, this, I'm not surprised to hear that that Mom Donnie is not really going to pay attention to New York City. He's coming to Wisconsin to scare everyone there.
Yeah.
And part of the recent history, again, in Wisconsin, when the present U.S. attorney ran for Supreme Court, what did he run on? That I'm going to be your Donald Trump in the Supreme Court. He talked about enforcing Southwest border issues. He talked about, I'm not making that up. I've still got the door hanger on this. All sorts of things. We all know Supreme Court justices have nothing to do with and embraced Donald Trump and said, yes, you put me on the Supreme Court to decide major issues in this nation, and Donald Trump will be right there with me. Again, whether it's the dog whistle, whether it's the invocation of things, relying upon people not to know better, that also is the cynicism, frankly, of the present U.S. attorney who's in eastern Wisconsin now.
Well, I mean, when you have a Supreme Court that, you know, gives a wink and a nod and endorsement to racial profiling, once again, you right. know that we've got tactics that work for a certain subset of the population. Mark, on another political note here, I think we've talked a lot this week about the Epstein files, but I think another theme from this week has been the economy. And the shorthand that I would put on it is Donald Trump's comment about us being in a new golden age and mm-hmm. that everything is so much better, even though, you know, they inherited all this bad stuff from Biden. It's a very up is down is up thing. I think he says golden age when gilded age might be the better description. And I'm wondering if you think, much like in the Epstein files, if you feel like people are looking at their pay stubs and they're looking at their grocery bills and they're saying, you know, I don't know that this Trump guy talking about the golden age is really being on the up and up.
Yeah. Oh, you use the word grocery because Trump's just said that grocery is a new word that was invented by Democrats.
Yeah.
I guess it means something like stuff you get at the supermarket. But they this is like the Epstein files in a way, in that Trump can't lie this away. I mean, it's people know that that children were abused and raped by Trump's friend, and they're not going to unlearn that. And in the same way, they go to the grocery store every day. They see what the prices are. They remember what the prices were last year. They, you know, they know that, you know, coffee, for example, I'm a coffee fiend, and boy, coffee has just been skyrocketing. A lot of it because of stupid tariffs that Trump is doing to try to help his fellow fascists down in Brazil. And so people know that they're not fooled about stuff that's right in front of their face that they see every day. And so him lying, and he's just day after day, he's just lying and saying, well, prices are down. Boy, prices really are down. We've got all the prices down. And he thinks if he says it enough time, everyone will believe it. But instead, they're buying their food and they're realizing that it's not true. And so it's not working for him.
Right. I mean, there's a difference between if you say something enough times and you don't have exposure to it, like
right.
transgender athletes. If you say right. that enough times, you're convinced that this is a big problem, but you can't do that with something that's tangible in front of people like their grocery bill. Same tactic, but it's not going to work nearly as well. Jim, you've got the weekend show Amicus coming up Saturdays at 11. We've barely scratched the surface of things that you might be covering this weekend.
All right, absolutely. And we're going to talk a little bit more about the Supreme Court. And Git continues to be in business, of course. And, you know, in that category of dog whistles, again, recognize that the Supreme Court participates in this again as well. They've got a case on their docket called Hecoxon, and it involves whether, again, transgender sports, just as they did last term. They, too, are highlighting this issue in a way that suggests that there is something to be a dangerous thing here, somebody to be concerned about. And that's the highest court in the land. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about the three ways in which the Comey and the Letitia James cases are going to be dismissed. And the question is just, hopefully, all three of them, but which one of them gets there first?
Okay. Jim Santel again. You can watch Amicus, listen to Amicus across the Civic Media Radio Network Saturdays at 9. It is replayed on Sundays. Mark, I got a minute left, and so I just want to ask a Chicago perspective on fish fries, because we were talking about that earlier. You know, where's a good fish fry in your hometown? Is that something you see readily in the Chicago area, or is more like, you know, you've got the good steak restaurants and some of them put on a good fish dinner?
Boy, you know, I love seafood, but Chicago is not a good place for seafood. I will have to admit that it's pretty terrible, you know, compared to, like, you know, you go to like the coasts, or, you know, places where actually fish and shellfish are caught, and it tastes a lot different than it tastes, you know, far away, like here in Chicago.
It's not in the Chicago River, Mark. You don't just go fishing.
Not a lot of fish there.
No,
not a lot of perch. Not a lot of cod there. That you eat.
You might grow a third ear.
Exactly. Thank you, guys. Mark, Jacob, Jim Santel. Happy Thanksgiving. We'll talk to you a little bit later on. All right. Take care. We'll have them on our Black Friday show next week as well. So tune in for that. Dr. Kristen Lyerly on the way. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
This is Cinnamon Girl by Neil Young, if I remember right.
Good ear.
All right.
It is.
Are we casting any aspersions on Dr. Lyerly, who joins us now? That she's
maybe she likes cinnamon. I don't know.
Maybe she's, yeah. Are you?
I did the cinnamon challenge once.
No, you didn't.
No.
A little bit. I did it with my son. He did it like all the way, though. Like minutes, like 3 minutes of him trying to chew on that cinnamon.
You ever notice that the word challenge now is attached to things that
make everyone go, oh God, no.
Yeah, yep. No, nobody to take the eat healthy challenge. You know? Nobody has the walk 10,000 steps in a day challenge. It's like, no.
No, they do. No. They do. People just don't. It's not fun. It's not spicy.
It's not life-threatening like some of the other things that TikTok calls challenges. Dr. Lyerly has not been on the program here for more than 2 minutes, and a fight has already broken out about whether the best fish fry is, in your view, it's what?
Perch.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because, you know, out in your part of the state, there are people that swear by smelt, you know, got to be that. They just like an old-fashioned cod. Some people still serve haddock out there. I don't know why. You're a perch girl.
Green Bay in the Valley, we're perch people. I think you're going to find your smelt a little closer to, like, Michigan. It's very regional. Like, it is very... You got to know where you are.
Yeah. Yep. Tony making a plug for a Northwest Wisconsin fish fry.
Oh, do tell.
Yep. There's good places there. Tony says, you guys try that broccoli challenge?
No.
I mean, if you're in, Tony.
Yep. Yep. And I do like when I, again, having married into a family from Eastern Wisconsin, where when I say smelt, they just kind of look at you like, no, smelt. It's kind of like if you say Fond du Lac, and they go, no, Fondulac. You know, you gotta have the lingo that's very specific to that area. Much like Frank does.
I was definitely in middle school before I knew Milwaukee had an L in it.
Yes.
It was Milwaukee.
Yes. Yep. Yep.
Wow.
How about you, Frank? How do you say Milwaukee?
Frank.
Uh-oh. Frank is frozen.
Oh, no. Frank is frozen. Oh,
we broke him. There he is.
Am I here?
You're there now. Uh-huh. Yeah.
I use Milwaukee with an L.
Oh, okay. Yep.
That's how we know you're not from here.
Well, that's how we know people are from Chippewa, is if, you know, there's only, yeah, Chippewa. There's only the one little P, and they're not two P's, like Chippewa. You're from Chippewa Falls. So anyway, we're eating up valuable time when Frank could be giving us his usual Friday quiz, where he has scoured the headlines and is ready to tell us or quiz us on our knowledge of the week, Frank.
Yes, it's time for our week in review quiz. We do have a running score. So
last week, Parker and Dr. Lyerly are tied
at 2 points. Pat trailing behind them with only 1 point. Let's see how many we can get through today. Chadwick Boseman just received his SAR Hollywood Walk of Fame. He famously portrayed which Marvel Avenger?
Black Panther.
You guys remember, your name is your buzzer.
Parker. Kristen!
Kristen, go ahead.
Black Panther.
Wakanda forever!
Yep. Very it nice. Is Black Panther. I've also would have accepted T'Challa. So
would you have accepted Peter Parker?
No.
No. Or Parker Olsen? No.
Parker, who is that?
Yeah.
I'm the original.
Yes. He's a of mix of Peter Parker and Jimmy Olsen, all wrapped into one.
Oh.
Parker, do you get those references?
Nope.
Oh, my gosh.
Good Lord. You know who Peter Parker is?
Okay, I know who Peter Parker is. The Spider-Man.
Jimmy Olsen?
Jimmy Olsen. Okay.
Superman?
I'm not related to him. I don't know.
Okay.
Oh, God. Okay. Okay.
Let's, we're moving on. Let's carry on.
I'm not a Marvel. The Star Wars, I got.
Parker's shenanigans. All right. Question number two. The CMAs were last night. What does CMA stand for?
Parker.
Kristen.
No, Parker. Ooh. It was you.
Country Music Award.
I will give it to Parker.
No, he was wrong.
It's not.
What was it?
Country Music Awards.
No, it stands for the Country Music Association.
Parker.
I am going to give it to Parker. Last night was the Country Music Awards, so it is.
That are awarded by the.
And it was two nights ago.
Yeah. Okay, Frank. Frank's at minus one now for administration of that question. Fine. Moving on.
I saw everything from the red carpet last night, and so that's where that came from. Moving on. Two-time Academy Award-winning actor Kevin Spacey claiming he's homeless now and living in a hotel due to the financial stress caused from his previous sexual assault allegations. Name one of the movies Kevin's Oscar for. It's
Kristen.
A tough one. Kristen, usual, go ahead.
The Usual Suspects.
Usual Suspects is correct.
Okay. Oh.
Kristen in the lead. 4 points to Parker's three. Pat still has one. The other answer we would have accepted is American Beauty.
See, and I got Tony on my side. He puts on YouTube. It's the CMA Awards, so the Country Music Awards. Yeah, see? Thank you, Tony. Appreciate that.
CMA.
You know, to us folks don't listen to country music, it's all the same.
Okay.
So I award Parker the point.
What if I tell you I used to listen to country music? Okay.
Take it away.
All right. Question number four. Everybody, I'm really sad to report that Kim Kardashian has failed the bar exam.
No!
Despite all that money, she couldn't do it. Her father, Robert Kardashian, was an attorney that defended which
Pat.
Disgrace? Kristen.
O.J. Simpson.
Pat. That is correct.
I know my football players turn murderers.
Him and Hernandez.
Sadly, too many of them, but yep. Yes. Okay.
I know that audio is from Johnny Cochran, but... I had to play it.
Sure.
Your glove don't fit. You must have quit. Pat, look at you getting on the board today. I'm proud of you.
Look at he's
Kristen
waking up.
Right now with 4 points. Pat, now two. It's our week in review quiz.
Okay. Last question.
Moving on to question number five. Country singer Keith Urban caught some heat for performing Chapel Roan's hit song Pink Pony Club at an event in Mar-a-Lago. Keith Urban is currently going through a divorce
Kristen.
From which actress? Kristen.
Nicole Kidman.
See, was
Pink Pony Club.
I was all set to buzz in on Mar-a-Lago.
Keep on dancing with the big winner club.
Oh, God.
Very nice. All right. Well, Frank, what's the final scores here? Where are we at?
Kristen is now leading with 5 points. Parker has three. And Pat just got one more today. So he's sitting at 2 points. We'll continue
there
this again.
Tortoise in the hair, boys and girls.
At some point.
That's what it is. All right. Thank you, Frank. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
As always,
thank you, Frank.
Kristen's going to be back. We're going to talk about a few things in the news as we roll into our final hour on a Friday morning, November 21st. I'm here in Madison today, along with Parker Olsen, here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Back after the news.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.